important about the present and the past. There were false prophets, and there are false teachers. So the apostle brings our attention to enemies. There are enemies. They're God's enemies that threaten the church from within and without. And in this section, not just in this section, but it goes on a little bit beyond this, these enemies are unveiled and exhibited in their true character. Their condemnation is proclaimed and their doom is announced. So I'm going to make some observations, and we're going to go through a lot of scripture. And most of the scripture, I'll show you. So the false teachers and the false prophets and the false teachers are, number one, scoffers, number two, sinful, and number three, skeptics. I mean, if you get into the workings of these false teachers, you can narrow it down to those three things. More than that, but pretty close. So somebody very correctly wrote a while ago, I'm quoting, "By entertaining strange persons, men sometimes entertain angels unawares. But by entertaining of strange doctrines, many have entertained devils unawares. You cannot take in these things that are false and not have them affect you." There, we had a lady when we lived in Hollywood, and she and her husband went to see The Exorcist. She was in our, she wasn't in a Bible study. Did we have her in a Bible study? And so she went, and they came home, and they went to bed. They had a girl that knew, that was friends with Chris. And she woke up in the middle of the night, and there was something sitting on her television in their bedroom. She said it was slimy, it was brown, and it was just sitting there looking at her. She hit her husband and said, I think his name was Mike. Mike. And so he woke up, look, and there's nothing there. And so she kind of dismissed it, went to sleep, woke up the next night. Sometime she might have get up to go to the bathroom or whatever. Same thing. And so she came over, and she was a wreck. And, you know, being of a Catholic background, this was prime for us talking to her about being saved and how you can't take these things in and not have them affect you. Amen. Because people were saying, it's just a movie. It's just a book. Look how the Word of God affects you. Can you read the Word of God and not have it affect you if you're saved? I don't see how. But look how a rotten, rancid book can have an effect on a lost person. And a movie even more so. So you can't entertain this kind of stuff without getting the consequences of those actions. It just doesn't happen. Now you may disagree, but only, I don't mind getting in trouble, but only since I believe you're involved in something along those lines that is false or that is sinful. And nevertheless, I believe it's true, and some people need to find out the hard way. So I want to go back in the Old Testament, and I'm going to start in 1 Kings and do a little bit of the history involving false prophets. Now, the first mention of a prophet altogether is in the book of Genesis chapter 20. Well, actually, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. So, a prophet up until the Joshua, Judges, well, actually, 1 Kings, were looked at prophets, were somebody that was respected. But in chapter 18, look at verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, capital P, from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. There's the prophet, and who's that speaking of? Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the Messiah, the prophecy of the Messiah to come. And we know that the Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. One of the early texts that we have that show that he's the Messiah to come. So in 1 Kings, let's look here in verse 18. So now we're going to get into not just prophets, but prophets that are false. They're still prophets. And we'll look here in verse 4. Well, 1 Kings 18, let's go to verse 3. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. All right, so we know here that there are 100 true prophets that are, they're not false. Okay, verse 13. When it was not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them bread and water. So the same thing, verse 18 or 17. It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and has followed Balaam. Right, go down to verse 20. So Ahab sent unto the children of Israel, unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. So we basically know that there are 100 prophets, and then verse 20, well, I already said this, verse 20. And we haven't gotten any other thoughts there. So let's go across the page, and we read, and I've got to remember where I put this, that something that Jezebel, okay, but 19. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450. Are they true prophets? They're false prophets. And the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So we have 100 true ones, and we have 400 serving Baal, 400 in the groves. I still don't know why they named it the grove. It's not an orange grove. It's an idolatrous grove. All right, so we have 850. Compared to 100, and the 100 are hiding. All right, chapter 19, look at verse 14. Now, Elijah defeats, was it the 400 or the 450? The 450. And there, if you read it, they all perished. In chapter 19, look at verse 14. And he said, I've been very jealous. And the Lord is talking to Elijah, and he to him. I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 18. Yet have I left me even 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. So Elijah had to find out, even though he thought he was the only one left, that there were 7,000. It didn't say they were prophets, but there were 7,000 who didn't bow down to Baal. Sometimes you get the idea, and it's a cultic thought, that only we are right, and everyone else is wrong. And I think God has a way of showing you, You have to stop thinking like that. Because there are a lot of people that are right. and that are giving out forth the word in different places and in different ways. So he has to find that out. Now let's go to, so as far as numerically, there were 850 to 100, and then there were 400 to 100 because 450 of them were killed. All right, so let's go to Isaiah. Most of my time I spent in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Because in the meantime, between all these, Isaiah chapter 30. A lot of things have transpired. Isaiah chapter 30, and we'll begin in verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Do you see what the people said? We don't want the truth. We don't want God speaking the truth to us. Get out of the way. Get him out of the way. All right? Now, hold your place and now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. Because between that statement and Jeremiah 5, look how much changes. Jeremiah 5:31. The prophets prophesy falsely. That's what the people wanted. And the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? So they demanded that God's prophets, or any prophet, don't teach them the truth. Give me smooth things. Give me things that make me feel good. Give me things that have a degree of truth in a barrel of air. It doesn't matter. Just don't tell us the truth. Now they love the lie. They love the lies. The false prophets are gaining in strength because now the people, because they won't deal with the sin issue, are now getting the lies and they're thriving. All right? Now, all of that, despite these facts, Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, look at verse 25. 7:25. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Isn't that sad? The Lord's saying, you are doing this despite the fact that I've sent people to give you the truth. Look at chapter 25. Let's skip ahead to chapter 25, Jeremiah. And look here in verse 4. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. Chapter 26, verse 5. To hearken, well, I don't like to cut into the middle of a sentence, but let's do verse 4. 26, 4, and then 5. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Look at verse 7. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Verse 11. Thus spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. You see what's happening? You see how this is unfolding? Chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28. Look at verse 8. The prophets that have been before me and before me of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. I'm going to say something when we get all through with this, but just keep those thoughts in your mind. 29 verse 19. Because they have not hearkened to my word, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. And then 35 verse 15. Jeremiah 35 verse 15. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets. I said many times before, repetition, theological glue. Have you been told how many times now about God sending his servants over and over and what they were to do? Rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way and amend your doings and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. So we have the complexity of all of this, that God initially sent servants. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, being the chief prophet of all the prophets, and they were not satisfied with the truth. There obviously has to be a reason for that. And so they wanted something else. And God gave them something else. But he kept saying, listen, don't you know? I have given this to you. I have set this forth, people, to do the very things that you're now rejecting. So go back to chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14. And let's look here in verse 13. Jeremiah 14, 13. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Jeremiah is talking to the Lord and says, This is what the false prophets are saying. Verse 14, Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesied lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, Sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. All right, there's a key chapter in here. If you don't think these are already key, there's a key chapter, chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. If you want to, use that as a foundation for going, with the false prophets here in the Old Testament, that would be good. There's a number of things that take place. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 9. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. That is an indicting verse. How can we look so lightly on the things that are going on, sinful as they are, and rephrase them and do nothing about it? Jeremiah was a broken man right there. Broken. Look here in verse 13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. There are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. There's a lot of what we're reading here that did happen, a lot that's going to happen. Because, you know, once we get into tribulation, we're back to the prophets. We're not going to have the preachers and teachers like we have today. 13 through 16, okay, verse 21. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. If you're going to side with God, you're going to have to say some things about some people that other people are not going to like. But it has to be said, these are enemies. God did not send the enemies. Who sent the enemies? The devil. And of their own making. Verse 25. I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yet they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Incredible. Verse 30. Get down to verse 30. And I'm skipping a lot here, but you can pick in the fill in the missing pieces. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. And if you can take the time and start going through the so-called ministries of the devils and these people that are saying they all use the Lord's name, they all say the Lord showed me, they all say the Lord talked to me, and all of that is in there, in their vocabulary. And the Lord's against them. Why are we not against them? Why are we tolerant of them? You know, the thing that Copeland said here, who's going to take him to task? Probably nobody. You know, who are we? I mean, you know, I don't want to get involved in Twitter and all this other business, but really, nobody that is in the limelight of our so-called Christianity is going to say anything publicly. You know it and I know it. That's why these people are still going. All right, Jeremiah 27. And I told you last week, the reason that I've gone here is because we're all consumed with the virus. What can we do? What can we not do? And do you think for a moment the devil's consumed with the virus? No. He's consumed with how can I get them to be focused on everything else in life but Christ. And I think he's... This is going to be successful until God's people get right with the Lord and say, no, this is how it's going to be with me. Jeremiah 27, look at verse 9. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar was coming. And Nebuchadnezzar came and he took them to Babylon and they served all of these. But these false prophets are saying, oh no, that's not going to happen. And all of it happened against what they said. Jeremiah 27, 14. Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. You see what he's trying to do? And also I spake to the priests and to all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, Behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. And there were very few that believed this. They were all on the bandwagon of these false prophets. How else can you explain when Jeremiah prophesies the truth that they wanted to kill him? Look what happens if you speak against the pornographers or the sodomites or the abortion industry. People just rail. They have all these key words against you. And yet, all we're saying is what God said. We're not making anything up. Chapter 29. Look here in verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. Have you ever heard anybody say, you know what, I had a dream, and in that dream this happened and this happened, and so it must be real. God's saying, don't believe them. Don't believe those things. Lamentations chapter 2. Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, right before Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 2:14. Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. I cannot say anything better than the Lord in the makeup of these people that are doing that even today. In God's name. In Christ's name. Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel 13. If you're tired of repetition, we have a little bit more. But you might remember it. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 2, 3, and 4. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. Hear ye the word of the Lord. This is what we do with these people. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Absolutely nothing. Good end of verse 4. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Verse 9. Mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Chapter 22. Chapter 22. And let's look here in verse 25 and then another verse. 22:25. Wherefore, no, sorry, 22. Ezekiel 22:25. Ezekiel 22:25. Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. Ezekiel 22:25. See any link there to Satan? The roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Verse 28, And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. All right? A few in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 14. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. False prophets, you shall know them by their fruits. And then the verses go on. Matthew chapter 24. And look here in after verse 8, where it talks about all these are the beginning of the sorrows. Verse 9 is going to begin the tribulation period. Not necessarily chronological, but these are just things that are going to be there. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. You think that in the tribulation you wouldn't have that. And in the tribulation you're going to have it's going to pick up from where they left off. It's incredible. How can you understand that? Look in verse, where did I end? In verse 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall come, and then shall the end come. Again, tribulation period. And there's going to be people that are going to say they're Christs, and these are all false prophets. And it's going to be sad. It's going to repeat itself. History repeating itself. Luke chapter 6. And look down here in verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. How did they feel about Jeremiah? How did they feel about Isaiah? Ezekiel? Daniel? The minor prophets? We have the verse that they killed the prophets. And he sent prophet after prophet after prophet, and they just kept killing them. But they spoke well of the false prophets. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll look here in verse 1. I got a lot of favorite verses, but this is one of them. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. This verse has so much discernment in it. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We have to be a discerning people. I've listened to things from people and I thought something. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying something's wrong here. And you don't know what it is, and you keep following along, and then finally, there they are. They expose themselves for what they are. You don't catch it at first. False teaching is very clever. When a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, does he say, I just want you to know I don't believe Jesus is God. I don't believe that there's any hell. And he goes through a bunch of things like that? No. He tries to sell you on something else to deceive you. Same thing with the Mormons. They told me, one of these two guys, he said, we're among the best families on the earth. Well, I'm not one to win friends and influence people. And I said, well, that's strange, because Utah is the third highest rate of divorce in all the country. So, you know, it is what it is. Now, let me kind of summarize this. when we saw in the Old Testament was that man had five books of the Bible, basically. When we're in here, there are things being written. I don't know that they had all that. They may have had some of the Psalms and Proverbs, but they had those five. If you were Jewish, which they were raised on five books of the Bible. They were required to know that. They knew those. So there were people that were designated as priests and then others as prophets, and they were to tell them the truth. And so they were dependent, even though they knew the truth, on what man said. So something's wrong here. If you have the truth, and you're depending on people to give you the truth of what you already know, and you're not getting what is wrong, and you're accepting it. Because that's what was happening. There had to be a turning away from the truth to the false. There had to be. To have the role that they had in the Old Testament. They just had to be. In the New Testament, we have the whole of what God wanted us to have. We got the 66 books. And it wasn't until, I believe, 1881 that man came on the scene and said, I found two new sets of manuscripts. One in a trash heap and the other one in the Vatican. And they must be older than everything that God has given us. And they began deleting and they began adding. They began editing to the Word. And until the Word is pretty much without the preserved product that they were given in 1611. Man did that. God didn't do that. Man did that. And no wonder you see so many similarities between what happened in the Old Testament with Israel. Israel's not the church, don't get me wrong. And what's happening today. And man, is the bottom line, is wicked and deceitful. And so we have versions that are smooth. They're easy to read. And being easy to read, you forget, are they accurate? Oh, accurate. Their intent, their sincerity is what is important here. Really, what is the intent? The intent is to deceive. No matter how you do it, if I got up to at bat and I played an entire baseball season and I batted 450 times and I got hit every time, and you came along and said, you got to change your stance. Your legs are too far apart. You close them up a little bit, and you can't keep your elbow back like this. You need to raise it up. Now, what did they just add to my perfection? Nothing. If I listened to them, they took away from it. And so all these false teachers, which we're going to look at, and these prophets were previews for us of what the false teachers were going to bring us. And they haven't brought us. And if you remember, in going back to 2 Peter chapter 1, what does it say in verse 2? That these people were going to accomplish. It uses the word many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many. Did you ever wonder why you could have 30,000 to 40,000 people in a stadium in Houston and listen to a storyteller that refuses to give the gospel publicly and a number of other things? How can that happen? Many shall follow their pernicious ways. This gives us a sampling what life was like until Pentecost, and we'll pick back up in the tribulation period. I would encourage you to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and go through what the Spirit speaketh expressly about. And go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and what 19 things were and what our position should be in those things, and not let those things get into us, which are descriptive of the last days and how perilous those times will be. So next time, I don't think it'll be next Wednesday, but next time we'll deal with the characteristics of these false teachers, their presence, their position, and their power. And hopefully we'll if you're coming for name calling, we may just drop a few names like Paul did, and not that I have anything to do with any of those people, other than to do what. Let me go to this verse here in Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to look in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. He told the believers in Ephesus something that needs to be told to the believers in Titusville, and the believers in Pennsylvania, and the believers in Texas, and the believers around the world. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Who are those people? Number one, they're false teachers. But rather, reprove them, expose them. It doesn't mean you're negative. It doesn't mean you're critical. It doesn't mean you have a mean spirit. It means you love the Lord and His Word. That's what it means. And we're not doing it. And when you do it, I've seen people here just bristle. Just bristle. If they were cats, their hair would stand on edge. Stand straight up. But you got to say it. Because it's needful. We don't major on this, but this is important. We are in a spiritual war. And the devil's doing whatever he can to diminish our testimony, if not destroy it, to diminish our love and our zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Word of God, and everything else. And get that, make sure that armor is on, and make sure you're going to war. What the good does the armor do to you if you just sit down and do nothing? Do you feel any fiery darts being fired at you as you sit down and do nothing? Is your shield pinging because people are shooting at you? No, nothing's happening. You want to go to war? You're going to feel the fiery darts of the wicked one being fired at you because you're telling the truth. You're not trying to be contentious. You're trying to contend for the faith. Big difference. So, amidst everything else that's going on, take your mind off everything that's out there. Put your mind that's everything in here and put it to use. Sad that the Lord came to a people, His people, and they publicly said, hey, we don't want the truth. We want to tell you something wonderful. I was in a church service 35 years ago, who knows. And so the main speaker was a guest speaker, and he came up and he told the people that were there, which we were there among them, how wonderful, how blessed, how grateful they should be that they have this pastor. And began to say just about the many things about just how wonderful and wonderful and wonderful. And I think I leaned over and I said, now what is he going to preach? And who's going to believe if he preaches anything that's biblical? Because you've just set them up. Hey, we're the best people in the world because we have the best preacher in the world. And so therefore, whatever he preaches, it's not as good as he is. Same thing happens with music. You can go to the Grove and have an hour's worth of rock and roll. Heavy metal, smoke, mirrors, the whole business. And then you have a guy come out, and maybe he preaches the word, maybe he doesn't preach the word. That's not the point. The point is, you have just energized to the flesh at a level that is so high. What can you preach that the Spirit could catch? Nothing. We did that once in a Bible study. We said, I'm going to show you what the music does. And so we played three selections from rock music, I guess it was. And then it said, okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Are you deeply moved by all that? You went through Psalm 23. I think they got the point. You're not moved by it at all. Your foot's still pumping. Your knee is still moving. Your heart is, and maybe part of your body is still swaying, because the flesh is in total control. And you're saying, okay, Spirit, take over. Doesn't work that way, does it? Okay. That was extra. Let's pray. Father, we of all people have nothing to boast about except you, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't lift ourselves up. We don't declare we're the only ones left. But we also know that you have given all these things that have happened for a reason, so that we could learn. We are not in the profit business today, but the teachers and the preachers and the evangelists. And we need to be equipped to know that there are those that are being used by the devil to take us down, just like they did the nation of Israel, and like they will Israel during the tribulation. So I pray that we could learn a little bit from that and realize that there's truth and there's error. And if there's something in between, it's still error. You can't have an incomplete obedience. It has to be complete. You can't have a partial will. Either something is your will or it's not your will. And so we look to you and ask that you show us what the truth is, and that we would adhere to the truth no matter what it is. And that we give out the truth. And we would stay away from that which is false. And if we need to, expose it. We just ask that you move upon our hearts and our bodies as we leave here and as we go through the rest of this week. There is a nation that is deeply, deeply afraid. We don't have the solution for the virus, but we have the solution for the fear. And we just ask that you speak through us. Help us not to be foolish, to think that we're immune to all of this, but to just carry forth your word, do what we can do, and trust you with the results. We look forward to Sunday, and for those who will be watching, for those who will be here, as we remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us in the crucifixion week. And we'll just thank you for what you're about to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.